I witnessed to him for many years. At first, he was resistant, but then he did pray to ask God to save him. He was interested in the Lord for several months, but then he faced some trials. His wife turned on him. He ended up getting a divorce. And he got to the point where he no longer was interested in the things of God. Question. Does he know God? I was talking with a pastor just last week who shared with me how he was raised in a Christian family and he knew the gospel. And he so desperately wanted to be free from his sin. For many, many years, he tried and he tried, but to no avail. A question for this afternoon. Does he know God? According to the U.S. Census 2020, 7 in 10 Americans, 70%, this is the U.S. Census 2020, 70% of Americans claim the name Christian. That's higher than some of the statistics I've quoted. But what is even more revealing is a study published the same year by Lifeway Research, which asked if religious beliefs are a matter of personal opinion or objective truth. What do you think? Truth, religious truth. Is it personal opinion or religious truth? The majority of people asked agreed with that statement. 54%. 54% said, yes, I would agree it's a matter of personal opinion. So you put these two together, and you can see pretty quickly that the majority would say, I am a Christian, I believe in God, I believe God's word to be true, but since truth is just a matter of personal opinion, I really don't have to obey it. It's not binding on me. In other words, I am the final arbiter of what is true and right and good, and that comes down to me, what I think about it. So 54% agree with this statement. 12% said they didn't know. So that puts the percentage to 66% who are saying, well, basically truth is relative. Only 34% said that they would disagree with this statement. And of course, we know from Barna's research, of the 34%, 3 to 6% would say that the Bible affects how they live their life in the application of a biblical worldview. My question for us in this text before us is, what does it mean to know God? Do they know God? And then, of course, do we know God? Do you know God? Turn with me to 1 John chapter 2. We'll be looking at verses 3 and 6. Now by this we know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He who says, I know him, and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him. He who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walked. 1 John 2, 3 to 6. That's a pretty straightforward passage, isn't it? God is knowable. You can know God. We're talking about the God who can be known. By this, we know that we know him. So let's break into this question. What does it mean to know? Three aspects of knowing, or talking about knowing God. There's three aspects of knowing in the context of a relationship. And that involves knowledge, a relationship, and a response. These are all in a covenantal kind of context. But all relationships involve these three aspects. Knowledge, and that knowledge in relationship, proximity to others, and a response. So the knower must have an awareness and an ability to know. A relationship starts with this awareness and moves into gathering information about the person that you are having a relationship with. So I Googled getting to know you. And you know what I came up with? A lot of questionnaires, which I thought was insightful. Getting to know you. You can download how to get to know someone. And the first way to get to know someone, at least on the top Google searches, which means this is what's popular, you know, this is what's out there, is to ask them questions. And what do you think the number one question would be for an American? What's your job, right? What do you do for a living? And it followed up with, what's the best piece of career advice you've ever given? How do you perform in front of a large crowd? Do you like to travel? Who inspires you? What was your favorite subject in school? So, questions. So to begin a relationship, it does involve an aspect of knowledge. If you don't know anything about the person, you really can't say you're in a relationship with that person. Fair enough. But knowledge alone does not mean that you're in a relationship. That must involve a giving and taking of knowledge, a sharing of knowledge. So there's a relational aspect to it. There's the giving and sharing of knowledge and awareness that both persons are sharing and learning about one another. There's a give and a take. The best way to get to know someone is through words, but it's not the only way. There's a proximity, there's being together, there's doing things together, but it's in relationship to one another. So there's an aspect of knowledge, asking questions, of relating, how you're handling that information, giving and sharing. And then there's a response that you have to what you're hearing and what you're learning. You must respond to the person that you're learning about. You can respond in love and deepen the relationship and deepen the bonds. You can respond with rejection and end the relationship and say, I don't want to talk to you again. You could respond with indifference. I don't care. Doesn't matter. You could respond with confusion. Like, what are you talking about? So all relationships involve these aspects, knowledge, a relationship, one to another, and a response to that. So when we talk about knowing God, God has designed us for relationships. He's designed us to know Him. And when it comes to the knowledge of God, He's given us propositional revelation, hasn't He? He's given us His Word so that we can know Him. We can know Him through His Word. He's given us His covenant so that we can know Him through a relational pattern. Covenants regulate relationships. He enters into a relationship to His people through covenant. And of course, there's a response. God chooses to enter into relationship with us by His choice that He chooses to love. And so it is in all relationships we enter into a relationship with God, we must respond to God according to the covenantal context that He's placed us in. So these are necessary for being in relationship to one another and to God. So if one of those aspects is not there, there's no relationship. 1 John chapter 2, verse 3 announces what this relationship is all about. Now, by this, we know that we know Him. So we know, there's your knowledge aspect. Now by this we know, that's knowledge. Then he uses the same word slightly differently. We know that we know Him. Now, in Greek there, the second use of the word know is a perfect tense, which means this knowledge is a result of past knowledge and experiences coming to bear in the present. So, we know, in other words, we've come to know as a result of a process. And that process is the knowledge worked out in the context of relationship that involves a response to what we've learned, i.e., a relationship. Now, by this we know, knowledge, that we've come to know Him, process. So how are you relating to God? So how are you responding to God? If you know him, you will respond favorably to him. If you do not know him, you will respond in rejection of him. What is the favorable response for those who know God? That's the this. Now by this, we know that we've come to know him. What is the this? What is the this? The this is, we know that we've come to know him when we obey him. I know it's kind of a downer, but that's what this is all about. It's about obedience to God. Now by this we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. Sounds like obedience, doesn't it? If we keep his commandments. There's a condition there. Those who know him, keep his commandments. That's what it means to know God. To respond to God, because you believe in God, is to obey God. They keep his commandments. This is what those who know God do. They keep his commandments. Well, which ones? Which commandments? The reason why this is a general statement is because it is meant to address the pattern and direction of the person who knows God. They walk in the light of God's ethical requirements. It's the road that they travel on. Those who know God travel on the road of God's commandments. He's intentionally leaving it general. He's not pinpointing a specific commandment. He says they follow this pattern. They walk in the light as he is in the light. As we talked about earlier in 1 John 1:5. This is the message we have heard. God is light. In him there's no darkness at all. You were in darkness. Now the light's shining. What is the light? The light is God's word. God's commandments. And so when you're walking on the road, you're walking on the road of God's commandments. And the reason you do what you do is because you're commanded by God. You're following God's word. Proverbs 6:21 says, in relation to walking in God's commandments, you bind them upon your heart. You tie them around your neck. When you roam, they will lead you. When you sleep, they will keep you. And when you awake, they will speak with you. For the commandment is a lamp and the law a light. Reproofs of instruction are the way of life to keep you from, then he gets a little more specific, the evil woman, from the flattering tongue of the seductress. So the word of God, the commands of God, the law of God are within your heart. And when you walk, they keep you. When you roam, they lead you. When they sleep, they protect you. When you think, they guide you. You're meditating on God's word. You're loving God's word. You're keeping God's commandments. This is what it means to know God. God's ethical commandments are made up of many individual commands. When you know God, you walk out all of them in your life as you walk in the light as he is light. Well, which ones? The ones you need. Which step should you take? The step that's right in front of you or the step that's way down there? When you're walking in the light, you take... How do you walk in the light? You walk in the light by taking one step at a time. And so as you face this circumstance, you take this step. As you face that circumstance, you take that step. And God continually shines his light. And as you have the light, you walk in the light and you walk out God's word in your life one step at a time. And God gives you what you need for each step of the journey, the road of his will, as you follow him through everything he's revealed to you to follow in his word. This is what it means to know God. This is what it means to love God. If you keep his commandments. So, okay, what does that look like? Well, it's going to look like faith and obedience. Faith and obedience. And it is true that those who know God are going to walk with God, but it's also true that those who do not obey God do not know God. So we're going to now apply this into the everyday life. What does this look like? And that's verse 4. If someone says, I know him, but does not keep his commandments, then what do you do? Or like American Christianity with 54% saying they don't even believe that the commandments of God are binding. They're just a suggestion. They're a personal opinion. So they're not even confessing that they have to obey God. But they would all confess that they know God. They would confess that they know him. So this is a thing that is very popular today. It's very much a part of our Christian circles. It's popular everywhere you go. We're not immune to that. It's the air we breathe, and obviously it was in the first century church as well, wasn't it? Because John is dealing with it right here. So it was something that he's dealing with as well. The person who says, I know him and does not keep his commandments, John says, is a liar and the truth is not in him. So the person who thinks they know God, but they divorce that from obeying God's commandments as the primary direction in their life, that person would be deceived. Question. What do you have to know before you know someone is lying to you? We were trying to find a car. Well, I wasn't trying to find a car. Well, I guess I was, but I found one. Alex was trying to find a car. And we were trying to help Alex find a car. And you know, you're looking on Craigslist, you're looking on places, and you call them up and talk to them. Oh, yeah, it's a great deal, right? Can you send me the VIN? Click. So, you know, I think John was there. You met with one guy, right? And what did he not want to tell you? I forget the specifics. But you know, if someone doesn't want to give you the VIN, what are you hiding, right? If someone doesn't want to, full disclosure. How do you know someone's lying to you? You have to know the truth. Right. You have to know the truth. If you don't know the truth, you're not going to know if someone's lying to you. So before you can know someone's lying to you, you've got to know the truth. And what is the truth that undergirds this passage? What is the truth that undergirds the knowledge of God? What is the truth that God knows that is so important for us to know, to discern who knows God and who does not know God? And this is the truth that undergirds all of this theology. And it's this. All who know God obey God. That's the truth that undergirds this. Those who know God obey God. Those who know God walk with God. That's the truth that undergirds all this theology. Now, wait a minute. Are you saying that they have to be perfect? No. No. That's not what this context is saying. Look at verse John 2. My little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. So you shouldn't sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He is, himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but this is true for everybody, all the whole world. So, when we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, is cleansing us from all sin. The reason it's cleansing us from all sin, and that's present, it's cleansing us from all sin. The reason it's cleansing us is because there's sin in us. So, John's not saying that believers never sin. What he's saying is, in fact, he's saying if we say that we have no sin, then we get deceived. We deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. What he's saying is that when you walk with God, your sin will be revealed by the light of God's word. As your sin is revealed, if you deny that sin and walk away from God, that's not a good example. That's not what it means to know God. What it means to know God is when God shines the spotlight of his word on your heart and your sin is revealed 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So the blood of Jesus Christ is continually cleansing us from all sin. And as we confess our sin, this is the Christian walk of walking in the light. But we're still walking in the light. As light reveals sin, it doesn't change your walk. You can still be walking in the light and reveal a sin. Oh, I confess my sin and I keep walking in the light. There's a progression. So, if someone says they know God, they ought to keep his commandments. As they walk in the light, those confessions will come. So obviously he's not talking about perfection. What he's talking about is all who know God will obey God. So when your sin is revealed, what does it look like at that moment to obey God? To get angry and walk away from God? No. What does it look like to know God? To stick your head in the sand and pretend you don't have sin? No, not quite. What does it mean to obey God at that moment when your sin is being revealed? Yeah, to confess the sin, right? Thank you, God, for revealing that. I needed that, right? Lord, help me to see what I can't see. Help me to understand what I don't understand. Give me the power of your Spirit, the grace to overcome. And so in that moment, you're still obeying God. Because all who know God obey God. Even when the light reveals their sin, they just draw closer to the advocate. They draw closer in confession. This is the person who knows God. The person who does not know God does not do that. They don't confess their sin. They don't follow through. They don't keep God's commandments. And they get deceived. And clearly these are the majority, which Jesus said. He said, remember, to enter by the narrow gate. Because there's a wide gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in it. So the majority is always wrong. The majority is the wide, broad way. And there are many who go that way. So Jesus said it would be this way. He said there's going to be a broad way. And most people are going to go in the broad way. And that's how it's been for 2,000 years of church history. There's a narrow way. And there are few to find it, but he says to enter in through that narrow way. So we have to be very careful that we don't be deceived. Because there are many false prophets who come to you, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. Then Jesus says in Matthew 7:16, you will know them by their fruit. You'll know them by how they respond. You won't necessarily know them by what they say. It's interesting what they say. But you're normally not going to know. You need to see how they respond to what they confess. You need to see how they respond to the Word of God. Again, the parable of the seed and the sower lies behind so much of this theology, doesn't it? You will know them by their fruit. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits, you will know them. Universal principle. Good trees bear good fruit. Good hearts bear a good life. How do you get a good heart? Regeneration in your heart. God's grace working in your heart. By your fruits, you will know them. So, your talk talks and your walk talks, but your walk talks louder than your talk talks. You will be known by what you do. Jesus again makes this clear. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father. That's what these verses mean. So we need to wrap our minds around what God says about those who know him, not what people say, but what God says. And I know this is hard because this means we have to trust God more than people. We have to trust God's word to interpret what people say. We can't take what people say and interpret God's word. Follow me? We take what God says and we interpret people. We don't take what people say and interpret God. Again, it's very popular to take what people say and interpret God. If you want to sell a lot of books and be popular in Christian circles, take what people say and interpret God. But if you want to be in a good relationship with God, which I would suggest is more important, take what God says and interpret people. Take what God says and interpret what people say. See the difference? So what God says is, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father. And that means exactly what it says. Why? Because all who know God obey God. That's foundational. That's the foundational doctrine for the perseverance of the saints. The saints persevere. Why? Because they know God, and God knows them. And God did a supernatural work of regenerating their hearts, and he put life in them. And living people grow. Dead people decay. Living people grow. Dead people decay. Many will say to me, Lord, Lord, have we not done all kind of religious things? So, you know, a lot of people have a lot of religious stories, don't they? You know what I say? I say, great, cool religious story. This person has this experience. This person has that experience. This person's flying over there. This person's lying over there. Everybody has a lot of religious experiences. How do you make sense of them all? I make sense of them all like this. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father. Many, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wondrous things in your name? Great! But Jesus will say to you, I never knew you, depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Terrifying. Jesus says, not impressed with all your religious stories and experiences. I'm impressed with those who do God's will. Sobering. Faith and works always are in a healthy relationship, in that faith always produces obedience to God's will. Authentic faith always produces obedience to God's will. Faith without works is dead. Now, there can be a time where you may not know exactly where that person's going. There may be a time when the plant is young and it hasn't borne the fruit yet, right? There's a time of newness that you may not know, but you will know them by their fruits. Come on, it's been 15 years. After 15 years, I think you can tell. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken to him a wise man who built his house on the rock, and the rains descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on the house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. Everybody goes through trials. Those who know God and obey God, they go through trials. Those who hear God but don't obey God, they go through trials too. So if you think you're going to escape the trials, think again. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on the house, and it fell. And it was a great fall, by the way. The question is, do you know God? As the floods come, as the rain beats on your house, is it driving you back to the Word? Is it driving you back to prayer, to calling upon the name of the Lord, to getting into Scripture, to renewing your mind, to confessing your sins? Are you building your life on the Word of God? Is Scripture directing your life? Are you in the process of walking out God's commands in the core of your life, moving from the general commands of Scripture, and then from those general commands, making the specific applications in your life? As you walk by the way, as you go here. Or is it something that, well, you know, yeah, I remember 10 years ago. I remember 15 years ago. I remember 20 years ago. Yeah, God, I was really on fire for the Lord.
haven't done much the last 15 years? Or is it, no, like this morning, you know, I was praying and God showed me this passage. And then yeah, last week I was really blessed and God opened up his word to me and I'm confessing my sin here and God's just continually growing me. It's amazing. Now by this, we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He who says, I know him and does not keep his commandments, well, he's a liar, and the truth is not in him. Those who know God obey God. But whoever keeps his word, verse 5, 1 John 2:5, but whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him. He who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walked. So you see here in the text in 1 John, it's parallel. Those who keep his commandments and whoever keeps his word are parallel. They're used synonymously. So I think from the text, I have liberty, we have liberty to talk about the commands of God and the word of God synonymously. Because to embrace God's word is to embrace his gospel, is to embrace Jesus Christ, is to embrace his grace, is to embrace his commands, is to embrace his law, is to embrace his covenant, is to embrace God. You can't pick, it's not up for you to pick and choose. That's American Christianity. That's, I am the center of the universe, really, and I can pick and choose what I like or what I don't like depending on me. And I make my own religion, and I make my own creation, I make my own life, and I can do what I want. The main thing is, you can tell me what to do, but I don't have to listen because I'm free to be an American. God doesn't look at it that way. God looks at it as, no, those who know my heart through Christ take my word and walk it out. Whoever keeps his word obeys. These words are used interchangeably. Those who obey God are those who know God. Now, there's some objections raised to this. And you're going to face some objections. Some will say those who obey God, they're really just being self-righteous. Now, is a self-righteous person obeying God? No. A self-righteous person is taking God's commandments, manipulating them to make themselves look better. That's legalism. Okay? So a self-righteous person is not obeying God. Some will say those who obey God are legalists. Some will say those who are obeying God are liars. And you'll get that accusation. Where really, the Bible says that those who obey God are not self-righteous. Those who obey God are not legalists. Those who obey God are not liars. Those who say they know God but don't obey God, they may call you those names. But the reality is, all those who say they know God but don't obey God, they're lying. They don't really know God. That's the sad truth. They don't really know God. It doesn't matter how many books they sell. It doesn't matter how popular they are in the Christian scene and in their music. And I mean, look at all these musicians that are selling millions and millions of whatever hits on YouTube. And they're like clearly in some pretty bad sin, like the Ten Commandment breaking structure. Like all the Ten Commandments, right? They don't know God. So here's the truth. All those who know God obey God. And all those who are obeying God, they actually are being perfected by the love of God. Obedience to God is all about the love of God. Look at the text. There's a very important word, and it's the word perfected. When you see the word perfected, what do you think of? You think, well, someone who's perfect, right? But the Greek word is teleotai, which is from the word the teleos, or the end. Teleos is a big word. It's purpose. It's completion. So the idea of perfection is completeness or wholeness or purpose, not missing anything, right? Maturity. So those who know God, they are being perfected. Now, this word, it's a perfect passive indicative. And that's a marked tense. Not every tense is marked in Greek. Only tenses that aren't used very often, and they're used for technical or specific purposes. That means to make a point. And a perfect passive indicative is going to make a point. It's a marked tense. Perfect, again, it means it's results of the past actions are being to bear on the present circumstances. Perfect. Passive. It's not the speaker doing the action, but he's receiving the action. And indicative, well, that's not marked. That's just the mood of reality. So this is not a contingency thing. So those who are obeying God, they're being perfected. That is, there's a process from their past that's now being brought to bear on the present. So the results of walking with God and obeying his commandments are continually showing this person. They're being continually nurtured in the love of God, so that now God's loving purposes revealed in God's commandments are now brought to full maturity, perfection in you. That's what obedience to God is all about. Obedience to God is all about knowing the perfect will of God, the perfect grace of God. But whoever keeps his word truly, the love of God is being perfected in him. Those who are walking with God and taking God at his word and keeping his commandments know that these commandments are all about the love of God. It's good for you not to be committing sexual immorality. It's good that you're not lying. It's good that you're not worshiping other gods. It's good. It's the love of God poured out on you to honor your father and your mother. It's a blessing for children to obey their parents. It's good for you not to covet. It's the love of God that keeps you from these sins. And so as you choose the love of God, as you choose to follow Christ, you're saying, yeah, God's commands are not burdensome. This is the love of God. God has called me out of sexual immorality into his love. He's called me out of lying. He's called me out of stealing. This is the love of God. So those who say they know God but don't obey God, they don't understand the love of God. They think you're judging them when you really, those who know God are just experiencing his love at a deeper level. This is how you know the love of God. This is how you get perfected by the love of God or brought to maturity. It's through keeping his word. 1 John 5:3. Let's look at that passage. 1 John 5:3. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. Now, if obedience to God was legalism, do you think John would have wrote that? Wasn't John the one that leaned on Jesus' breast? Isn't John the one whom Jesus loved? John was a pretty relational guy, wasn't he? When you're reading the Gospels, John was a pretty relational. He's nuzzled up to Jesus on his breast. So this is the same John who says, this is the love of God. We keep his commandments. And his commandments are not burdensome. Why? Because Jesus Christ died for our sin and rose again from the dead. Jesus Christ takes our sin And we just have to follow him to the cross. And when he dies, we die. We die with him. The co-crucifixion. When he rises again, we rise again. Co-resurrection. When he says, follow me, we follow him because our life is his. His life is ours. We give him our sin. He gives us his life. The great exchange. And we follow him. For his commandments are not burdensome. Verse 4, 1 John 5, 4. That's because we've been born again. If you've not been born again, certainly his commandments will be burdensome. If you've not been born again, certainly you're going to think of this in terms of legalism. You're not saved. All you have is your self-righteousness. All you have is your own works. You're not saved. I understand why people that aren't saved, they look at the law of God and it clobbers them. Because it does. They have no Savior. But for those who are born again, 1 John 5, 3 and 4, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. His commandments are not burdensome, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world. Our faith is the victory that overcomes the world. Do you have faith? Do you have saving faith? John 14:21. He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Oh, God, I want that. I want the Father and the Son to come to me and dwell with me and abide with me. Don't you? It's a love relationship that we enter into by grace through faith. It's a love relationship that we have with God, that we have the knowledge of God. We have the relationship of God. We have the response that we have to God in a covenantal context. Jesus does this for us so we can enter into a relationship with the Father. We get to the Father through the Son. The Holy Spirit comes and energizes us and activates us so that we love God's commandments. If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him, and we will make our home with him. Come home. Come home. Come home to relationship with God. Come home to loving God. Come home to seeing the beauty of God's commandments. To love what God loves. To hate what God hates. The beauty of telling the truth. The beauty of sexual purity. The beauty of honoring father and mother. The beauty of God's design. This is the love of God. He who does not love me does not keep my words, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father who sent me. These are the words of Christ. I think you get the point. Whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him. And there's your in Christ, like Paul did in Ephesians. We spend all that time in Christ. How do I know if I'm in Christ? You have a relationship with God. What does it mean to have a relationship with God? Well, you know certain things about God. You are in proximity to God. And you're responding to what you know in a favorable way. You're obeying him by faith. And that faith walks out in your life. This is how we know that we are in him. As you do that, you're deepening your relationship with God in his love. Because God is love. He who knows God knows love. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. God is love. And as we walk with the loving God, it rubs off on us as we walk in the light. He who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walked. Jesus said, follow me. And all who know him will follow him. So, in conclusion, do you know God? Do you obey God? All who know God obey God. And here's my five questions that are on our HBC community, but I'll give them to you now. You should be able to understand these five questions. What does it mean to know God? What does it mean to know God? And how can you know if you know God? From this passage of Scripture. Why do those who disobey God not know God? So what is the answer to those who disobey God? They need to know God so that they would obey God. Because if you know God and you know His gospel and you know His heart and you know His word and you know His commandments, you're going to want to love God. You're going to, right? And then God's going to come to you and He's going to take you. And can you disobey God and still know Him? Can you disobey God and still know Him? And I dealt with those two scenarios. One is yes and the other is no from this passage or from this context. And then, do you know God?